AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
On the Pilot TV podcast this week, we're pumping iron with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Netflix's biographical documentary, Arnold, filling in forms with Yusuf Kokur and Catherine Parkinson in Significant Other on ITVX, and determining whether Tom Holland is a serial killer, along with Amanda Seyfried in The Crowded Room on Apple TV+. I'm James Dyer, and welcome to the Pilot TV podcast, your essential guide to every show that matters, and a podcast that has just about got over what we like to call Desolation Week, the week in which all the shows ended. But that's okay. It is okay, because not only did we talk through the finales to Succession, Ted Lasso, Barry, and Yellow Jackets on last week's Pilot Plus, but our Succession spoiler special is now live with Boyd's interview with director Mark Mylod, and our Barry spoiler special with Beth's interview with Sarah Goldberg will be live very, very soon. So if you don't already subscribe to Pilot Plus, you can do so for the embarrassingly low price of $1.99 a month at empireonline.com/pilottv, an amount that wouldn't even buy you a signed photo of TV's Boyd Hilton. Luckily for you, then, we do have him here in the flesh. Hello, Boydie. How much does it cost to get a signed photo of you these days?
20p.
Yeah. 20, a bargain at the price. Also with us is my other co-host. Ask her for pictures and just see what happens. It's Kay Ribeiro.
Hi, James.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
Great. This has been a good talk. We're starting very, very late, listeners. We got in here. I've been here waiting for an hour and 15 minutes. Boydie was late.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Just to out you. But that didn't matter because I'd managed to break the desk in between doing the Empire podcast and this one. So we had to get an engineer to come down and fix it. He was, of course, distracted by Kay's rampant flirting, which...
Bold.
Boydie called her out for. So, you know, that's...
No, listeners, just to give you a... anytime I talk to anyone of any gender, Boyd accuses me of flirting. That's where we are.
Coquettish behaviour, I believe, was the...
He has used the word coquettish before. He's denying it now.
I deny use of that word.
Whatever.
I deny use of that word.
I'll flirt away, but I wasn't.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it. Well, we come off a very, very sexy episode of Pilot Plus that we recorded earlier this week. So,
I know, and some terrible, terrible news. So, we recorded that yesterday. I said that I was going to watch, I was going to call it Nando. No, Nacho.
Yeah, which for those foolish people who do not subscribe to Pilot Plus, what is Nacho?
Nacho is about a porn star, a Spanish porn star who had a gigantic penis.
Yes.
And they've made a show out of it. And I wanted to watch it as our foreign TV correspondent.
That's the reason. Carry on.
No, I did, because I'd committed to watching some more foreign drama and frankly, I haven't. So I thought, I speak Spanish. So I was like, let me watch that. And then last night I couldn't. It disappeared off my screener account. So I can only presume they didn't want me to watch it.
Yeah.
Or it was too rudy nudy for me to see.
You were unable to be D-knob happy? Does that work? Doesn't work, does it?
No. You slightly ruined my what we've been watching section for me.
Because you've been watching Nacho.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean,
how have you got it and I haven't?
Because I'm hosting the thing.
It's a drinking game. Come on,
you clearly cannot be trusted. You cannot be trusted with the knob show. That's essentially what it is. So they've removed it from your account. Just for those of you who already listen to Pilot Plus, you all already know this. Boydie is hosting a Q&A for the Big Knob Show in front of an audience of porn stars. This is absolutely true. This is the thing that's happening.
People in the industry.
People in the quote unquote industry.
Is how it was put to me.
Yeah.
I am hosting the... it would have happened by the time this podcast goes on there. But then again, so will the interviews that you promoted at the start of the show, that maybe they won't happen. Who knows?
Who knows?
Shambolic as always.
But yes, I am hosting the Q&A after screening of Nacho, the aforementioned show that Kay was assigned and has now disappeared. Take it away from her.
Furious.
With these big knob shows, you've got to get in there quick.
Do you think they removed it from her queue after listening to this week's Pilot
Maybe.
Plus?
Maybe, yeah.
And they heard your thirsty words.
Oh, please. Yeah. I was doing it for the podcast.
Oh, of course you were, yeah.
For the listeners. Yeah. The listeners
for England,
like the foreign,
James.
Yeah.
The listeners that like the foreign dramas.
Anyway, what I would say about it, because I'm now doing the what we should watch it called? What have you been watching?
Sure. It's not a cryptic title, but carry on.
What's I've seen with my eyeballs?
I have got a head cold to add to my general normal.
It's true. A head cold, which Kay apparently gave you. So, you know.
Absolutely.
He's lying.
So it is very, very raunchy. It's one of, I mean, obviously it's about this guy, this real life guy called Nacho Vidal, played by Martinho Rivas. And he was a real life porn star. It's kind of his story, it's his origin story of how you become a porn star in the huge Spanish porn industry. Who knew? They have a massive industry of themselves. Like, it's not we're not talking Hollywood, you know, porn. We're talking original Spanish origination.
Yeah.
Porn.
Stuff happens in Europe as well, guys.
And
so just like they're all wearing Desigual stuff. That's
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. it's set in the 90s. And it's fascinating, but it's no holds barred. I have to say that. Interestingly, I should say I'm interviewing that star and also the showrunner, who is a lady, Teresa Fernandez Valdez, which is very interesting because it is, you know, I would say it's definitely not got the male gaze. There's lots of naked women as well as naked men, particularly the lead guy who spends half the show naked, obviously.
Yeah, you would think.
Because he's playing a porn star.
Yeah.
But it is really, it's kind of vividly, colourfully shot. It's very Almodovarian, I would say, in tone.
Yes, I enjoy my porn Almodovarian wherever possible.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I enjoyed it. Yeah, it's genuinely interesting. And the funniest thing about it is, I think it's in episode 2, where he kind of goes from being, he's just a kind of guy who shags a lot of women in the first episode, and then he joins the army, blah, 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 blah. And he gets a reputation for having a large penis. That's there. That reputation stands before him.
Right.
Then so episode 2, you kind of get this, he agrees to join. He meets this woman who works in a live sex show in Barcelona. And he goes and takes part in a live sex show, and that's how. And
just to be clear, are you currently spoiling the Big Knob Show for everyone?
No, I don't think so. It's only the first. I mean, how is that a spoiler?
I don't know. I don't think so.
When I researched it all, and that.
Yeah. Of course you did.
It's a bike. Oh, anyway, all right, I'll stop that. But I'm stopping there at the live sex show because, as I must have told you my live sex show story.
God, it is amazing.
Hang on.
No,
hang
James.
On. There's a live sex show story.
James. Yeah. In Barcelona.
It is the best thing here.
Before we start recording, we were talking about Stag and hen weekends. And
we were.
I went on the worst weekend of my life. It was a Stag weekend.
God.
Which celebrity Stag weekend was it?
It was not a celebrity. it was a normal person.
James, just a warning. Once you've heard it, you can't unhear
you can't
the story.
Unhear the story. Yeah. Listeners, brace yourselves.
Yeah, yeah. We went to a live sex show, as you do, of course, when you're in, you've got a bunch of lads going to
How very Richmond AFC of you.
Yeah, right, exactly. They were offered on, weren't they?
When they're in Amsterdam,
rightly,
yes.
Snubbed it, quite rightly snubbed it.
You should have snubbed
it. Because they are tawdry. And it's a very interesting point. Before I tell the story, the contrast between the Nacho kind of stylized visual.
Almodovarian. This was not an Almodovarian live sex show.
Absolutely not in any way. It was quite tawdry.
I am disappointed you didn't sit this one out. But
You can't, you know, peer pressure, can't you? Know, like, this is years ago, by the way. This is like a long time ago. Nowadays, I wouldn't go to any. It's ruined. I wouldn't go to any. What's it called? Stag
live sex shows.
Stag or live sex shows. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the woman get women strippers as well, obviously, and this woman stripped off completely naked, and she decided that she would grab my glasses. She went into the audience, grabbed my glasses. Before I knew what I was doing, I couldn't stop her, and she put them where, if you like, the sun doesn't shine.
Oh my God!
Yeah. And I had to get them back afterwards. I had to wait quite a long time at the front of the stage
for her to extract the glasses.
The shame of it, queuing up for glasses.
Yeah, after the sex show had finished, for them to give me my glasses.
I mean, on the plus side, I guess at least you couldn't see what's happening.
I couldn't see what's happening exactly. That was the plus.
Most pertinent question: please say she cleaned them.
Well, they did.
Please say those are not the glasses.
Some guy gave them back to me when we have cleaned them.
Oh my god! I would.
That's so upsetting.
Yeah.
You're right. I can't unhear that.
So now
I told you.
In the Nacho, they don't do that in Nacho. But there's a live sex show.
Can I say I have inadvertently walked into two strip shows in my life. Absolutely. On two separate occasions, I inadvertently walked into strip shows. So one was in Australia when I was backpacking and I would have been, what, like 22 or something. And there was a, it was, I can't remember where in Australia it was. It might have been Brisbane. But there was a bit where they said, oh, you can get like food at this place for free. So it's part of the youth hostel thing. I was staying at a hostel. They give you a voucher to go to this place. I think it was called The Boot or something. Anyway, you went in there and there was like a restaurant bit and then they went, oh, you can get drinks in the bar and the bar's back there. So me and my friend Daniel went into the bar and then someone came through with beers on a thing and said, would you like one? I was like, no, beer, thanks very much. And she walked away and I was like, Daniel? I said, yeah. I said, you know the waitress? She said, yeah. I said, she was naked, right? It wasn't just me. And he was like, yeah, I noticed that. and it was a strip place and I but at
like
no
Hooters.
Point
was it like Hooters or
no but
it,
oh, full, fully nude okay. fully nude okay. not topless fully nude
topless.
And it was so disconcerting I was and they, but they were just wondering I don't know if there was a show later on but they were just like they were serving drinks naked.
And how long did you stay
for that particular thing?
Yeah.
I used my voucher to get my free
hours.
Macaroni cheese and then we left.
of all the foods.
Even that isn't as bad as the other one, which was another backpacking thing. I was backpacking this time in Canada and we were staying somewhere in, I think it might have been Jasper, it's in the Rocky Mountains, and I was staying with two friends and again, it was one of these things, I was looking for snacks, I'm always looking for snacks, and I was going looking for snacks and I walk into the kind of the bar area to see if they're serving food and there is a strip show going on the stage, but crucially, the door that I walked in was a door right next to the stage.
Oh,
so I walk into the room and I look left and there is a room full of men looking at me. And I'm a bit like, oh, this is awkward. Am I in the middle? And then I look right.
So I took my clothes off and there we were.
Yeah, I was like, well, I went for Magic Mike. But I looked to the right and there was just this naked woman just sort of standing there looking slightly peeved that I just essentially walked in front of the stage and I exited stage left very rapidly.
It's got real Mr. Bean vibe.
I know. There is a real Bean-esque quality to it. It was not my finest hour, but yeah, that was awkward. Oh, really, gosh. Really awkward.
Any live sexual strip shows, Kay?
No, I yeah. feel like
Haven't
I've
you
really
been to,
missed
like,
out.
You know, what's it called? The Chippendales.
Oh my god, I've no idea.
Magic Mike.
I went to
Magic Mike. Oh, you were in Magic Mike Live.
Don't
yes.
pretend you haven't been.
Oh my
been.
God, what a dickhead. Yeah, I have actually, and not so long ago. I was taken as a present for me by someone who is my best friend and should know me better.
wow.
Yeah, it was kind of excruciating. I had to try and lean into it. But also, when we first sat down, I was sitting next to a ladder and my friend was just really laughing at me. And I was thinking, oh God, what's she laughing at? And then I realised that's where they were going to start dancing. And like,
a ladder?
Yeah. They, you know, they have
that's
all the, they're all like, you know, jumping off stuff and yeah. shit like yeah. that. And I insisted I swap places. But yeah, no, I mean, after a while, I kind of grew used to it. But it just makes me feel intrinsically uncomfortable. So yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you ever find yourself seated next to a ladder, move.
Yes, 100%. Or if you see that clearly labelled bar that says strip joint, like James did,
yeah.
don't
yeah.
walk in.
Although, look, if you listen to James's telling of that story, both he didn't even know where he was half the time.
I mean, genuinely.
Are you being led through these,
he's like who
the
am
world
I?
With the blindfold on?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't, let's say, I wouldn't call myself a natural backpacker. I don't think I was particularly well equipped for it. But someone gives you a voucher for free macaroni cheese, you go where they have the macaroni cheese.
I mean, do you?
Yes.
I think from going forward, if you're going to do this again, you need a snack sack, aka a bum bag, which has snacks in it, so you never have to go anywhere.
So you never have to go into a strip club to get food.
I'm going
to
buy you a snack sack.
Yeah, that's fair.
I will say this for mac cheese. It is a very common kind of side order in America, in American like fast food restaurants and stuff.
It's
weird.
Because
here, it's like you're lucky if you get, you know, it's like an elaborate thing to get mac
meal.
And cheese. In America, it's like everywhere.
Yeah.
Little pots of mac and cheese, given in a strip show.
Even in strip clubs, apparently. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
True. What else have you been watching, Boydie, that doesn't involve naked people or sex shows?
Last week I mentioned these BBC comedy shorts that arrived. They're all now online. If you go to the iPlayer, and I watched a few of them, and they're really good. There's one that Ricky Gervais directed that is very good. And the best one, though, is called Man Eater. It is written by Angela Nessie and Anna Brooke Mitchell, and it's a comedy horror. I won't say kind of much more than that, but it's quite bloody and violent, but really funny at the same time. And if you're into,
do you think I'd like it?
I think you cope. I mean,
okay, it's not too bloody and gory
because it is bloody and gory. I mean, you can't deny it, but because it is a comedic tone to it, I think hopefully that would make you cope with it better. Who knows? But they're interested. There's one called Mobility, which stars Jack Carroll, who's the BGT guy, you know, the guy with a disability, who's, I think he won BGT a few years ago.
Lee Ridley.
Jack Carroll.
Oh, okay.
Jack Carroll. No, not the the voice guy. No, this is a different guy. And that's really interesting. So yeah, it's I recommend those BBC shorts on the iPlayer, James. And I haven't had time to watch much else because I had to watch Nacho, and I watched lots of episodes of one of the shows we're reviewing this week. I'm not going to say which one. No spoilers. Ooh,
interesting.
Mm. Yes.
I have it on good authority that a show that I have been very much looking forward to has arrived on the on the streaming portal. So
I assumed that was going to be your answer.
No,
to say, can we do a sweepstakes of what James has been watching at the weekend? Because I assumed, because we were told that was arriving at the weekend.
Yeah, we were.
I can't believe you didn't watch it. What are you doing?
No, because I've had too much else to watch. I'm having to rush myself because the thing is, I am watching Star Trek: Strange New Worlds because the new series is upon us. Yes. We may or may not be doing an interview for that show, so I kind of feel like I need to get through Strange New Worlds. So I've been watching a lot of Strange New Worlds.
James and his secret sci-fi interviews.
he just goes off, sneaks off with his little snack sack. No, yeah, he goes off.
I'm basically just looking for mac and cheese. No, it happens to be with a Star Trek cast. Then fine,
cast members drop. Randomly. Okay.
Yeah. I'm loving Strange New Worlds. Absolutely loving it. I take back everything I said about it being procedural. It's glorious and it's wonderful, and I love it.
I'm gonna have to watch it.
It's definitely the best Star Trek at the moment.
Series 2 in this week's Heat Magazine.
That's not all I've been watching. Obviously, we watched the finales of the various things we've already talked about. We don't need to go in about that. No. If you subscribe to Planet Plus, you already know this. I also watched something else.
What?
An entire series of something else.
Oh, there you go.
I finished Colin from Accounts.
Oh.
Yes, James!
I binged my way through it. I've had, as you may have heard, I think I mentioned I was having a bit of a shocker last week. Let me tell you, you thought it was bad, but it got worse. my week got worse.
Tell them.
I may or may not have accidentally severed the end of my finger with a pair of garden shears. So that was obviously...
That's not even a joke, guys.
It's not even a joke. It was not the best thing that happened to me, but I needed something to make me feel better. I needed to be happy. I needed some antidote to that. And I was like, do you know what? I need Colin. I need Colin.
Everyone
and I put it
Colin.
On and I just watched episode after episode after episode and I just kept going through it. But the thing is, what was putting me off watching it is because you had really scared the shit out of me about episode 7. And I was really nervous going into episode 7 because, as you know, my whole cringe phobia is what stops me watching Succession. Yeah. Like, it's really difficult for me. It wasn't as bad as... I know what you mean. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it was... There were a couple of moments specifically...
Token.
Yeah, it was the awful cringe, and I'm not going to give away anything of him trying to communicate with people from another generation in an excruciating fashion.
It's so realistic because it's like you could see it happening.
You could, and it was absolutely painful, but it was so well written, and some of the lines in that episode were nothing short of genius. Yeah. Like, nothing short of genius.
Oh, I'm so happy you watched it.
I loved the whole show. And then, it had some bittersweet moments, and I loved the way it ended. That whole season, I loved it. Loved it.
Didn't you love how that episode 7 ended as well?
Yes.
Do you remember? Yeah.
Yes.
That was very good.
It was also interesting as well, because it was one of those situations where people having a fight, but there was bellendery to go around. Like, they were both being dicks. And so you weren't particularly sympathetic to either of them in that regard,
I think she was being more of a dick than he was.
They were both being dicks, I think. He certainly got the short end of the stick in terms of the scenario, but I don't think had
scenario.
Maybe... Well, no, because I'm trying to not drop any spoilers.
No, it's the pronunciation. Scenario.
Scenario, scenario.
Oh, my God, I'm loving
the thing that happened.
So
he got to... But I thought he didn't deal with it very well. You know, like, it's like, all right, calm down. Like, so I didn't think he dealt with it very well, and then she was a dick about it.
I love him, so I'll always defend him.
I love them both. I think they're both glorious.
Bring on season 2.
Yes, bring on season 2 of Colin from Accounts. So that's what I've been watching this week. And could I just say, the forbearance for me not watching the thing that I really wanted to watch.
Thing? I don't know what you guys
we can't possibly
about.
Say.
You can, I mean, I think you... Well, I, think
well,
you
I suppose
can.
It's not breaking an embargo.
No, breaking
well, is
embargo.
It breaking an embargo to say that I could see them?
No.
No, fine. It's not. What is it? Just tell me, goddammit.
I guess. Let me guess. It's Foundation. Season 2, isn't it?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Hardcore sci-fi geekery. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, watch it at some point.
I mean, look, I look forward to you watching it. That is the only thing
I'm
keeping me going
it.
At the moment. Oh, you absolutely are.
Foundation with famously the mass killing of millions of people scene.
Famously. See, we're doing these. We're doing that again. We're doing like Pilot Plus in jokes.
Yeah, I can't
the people on the regular
track.
Show will not understand.
Sorry.
Okay, well, that's another reason to
Someone
sign up.
Had a go at me. Not had a go. Someone pointed out that I frequently say...
famously most episodes.
Famously all the time.
Yeah, you do.
But I think most of the examples are famously.
to be fair. Yeah. But yeah.
They're pretty famous answers.
Yeah.
Kay, what have you been watching?
Right, so I have been watching, I finished watching Maryland, which we actually reviewed on this show, which
yes.
is the Saran Jones and Eve Best three-parter. And I really, really enjoyed it, I have to say. Like, I liked the first episode, but it just got better and better. And I found it incredibly moving, their portrayal of siblings who are grief-stricken, but are also like examining their relationships. And like, it brings up a load of things from their childhood, and it's like misremembering and what actually happened and yada, yada. It was, I thought it was really good. So I watched that. That's on ITVX. And then I also watched Annika.
Annika!
Yes, which is the Nicola
What was that?
I don't know.
It was, I was doing Liam Neeson doing Anakin. But I've Annika!
Got, I just okay. see? I just put it down to him having an episode.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, it was like
you just let it pass you by.
Yeah. Which is my new tactic with him.
An interesting scenario.
It's Pavlovian with me. I can't, like, now when anyone says Anakin, I have to go, Anakin! It's
well,
like,
she didn't say Anakin, she said Anakin.
Yeah, but it was close enough. Like, if you'd said, like, Sons of Anarchy, that would have done it as well.
Okay, well, anyway, I've been watching the show Annika with Nicola Walker. It's a crime show based on a Radio 4 drama, and it's on iPlayer, and it stars, Nicola as a Marine Homicide Unit detective who's solving murders.
We reviewed season one.
Around the Scottish Wars. Oh, did you?
Mm. Yeah. I believe our main takeaway was it had the most ludicrously lavish office.
Yes.
With this glorious view, and we couldn't get over it.
I remember
the views in all of
this
it.
This is series one, by the way, that's gone for, we reviewed it when it was on Alibi, I believe.
Yeah.
On
fine.
The UK
okay,
TV
yeah.
network, and it's now on the BBC One on a Saturday night.
Yeah. It's good. And do you know what? It does do that thing which I hate, which is breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't you rail against breaking the fourth wall?
I did.
It's fine when it's Nicola Walker.
Right.
But I still do not like it. However, with her character, Annika, who is very quirky and she's very funny and stuff like that, I think actually it does add something by having her talking to camera because you get to see that. Did you actively yawn?
I've got an ill. I'm not well.
I mean,
you were being quite tedious, so it's fair.
No.
The rank rudeness today, guys, is outrageous.
Boyd's just drifting off.
I have to blow my nose now as well.
Do you know what, Boyd? Sorry. If you want to yawn at Nicola Walker's performance, by all means. Anyway.
Harsh.
It is good, and it had a very satisfying ending, so I'd recommend that. That's on iPlayer.
You watched all the episodes?
Yeah. All six.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
All right, well, if that is all that we've been watching, we can move on to this week's listener question. And this week's listener question comes from Trudy Parling. And it says, hi, I have a question for the pod. I will admit to cheating on the Pilot TV podcast.
What?
And listening to Must Watch on 5 Live. They were talking about the ITV drama Maryland. There you go. See, it all comes full circle. Which was set in the Isle of Man, but filmed in Ireland. Pilot TV's very own Boyd Hilton texted into the show to advise them of the filming location. Of course you did.
This is the power of Boyd.
Yeah, like Boyd's like, I think you'll find. this leads me to your favourite crossover episodes. There you go.
Can I just say that the reason I messaged them was because I do this, and you know, I've got friends of mine are on that show. I used to do, as everyone knows, 5 Live every week.
famously, you did.
Famously. Then I was then we got rid of for a younger model, a younger better.
There is no one better than you, Boydo.
And then I actually started doing this podcast, and this became, I couldn't do both. But they were banging on, honestly. They were reviewing Maryland, and they went on and on, the reviewers, about the location and how it was all about the Isle of Man. And it was like, you know, amazing locations in the Isle of Man. And I was like, oh my God, someone's got to correct it, because it's just so misleading, isn't it, to say that the whole point of it's a love letter. Actually, the host, Nihal, actually asked, is it a love letter to the Isle of Man? I'm like, just stop now. So I felt I had to tell them, point out that it was actually shot in Ireland. And they didn't know. So
did you take gleeful delight in this?
I was not being gleeful. I was not being a prick, honestly. I was just trying to help. And I did, and they seemed grateful.
Yeah, of course.
Because they would have carried on about it even more, I'm sure, if I hadn't pointed it out.
Yeah. They were doing a love letter to the love letter to the Isle of Man.
Exactly. Yes. It just got out of hand. That's why I intervened. Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good.
As for crossover, oh God, that's a hard question, isn't it?
Crossover episodes.
I can go first if you want, because
Hang on, surely you haven't prepared for a listener question.
Yes, I have this time.
This cannot be true.
I did it a few seconds before we came on air.
Of course you did.
And so, yeah, I actually didn't have one on the top of my head, so I did have to Google
it. Well, the first question would be, are there any good ones?
Yeah, that's true.
Because they don't tend to be banner episodes of really anything that where it happens, do they?
Well, the example I was going to cite is when Olivia Pope from Scandal showed up to give Annalise Keating her support in How to Get Away with Murder.
I've heard of this one. Mm. I know Scandal better than I know How to Get Away with Murder, although I've watched a few episodes of that. But so they had a proper, and it worked, like it, as in it did justice to both.
From what I can remember, yes. But I mean, it was a long time ago. I remember it being on and seeing it and thinking, oh my God, like that. And yeah, so I can't remember to say, was it the best crossover? But I remember it was notable.
Hmm. There've been a few where you got procedural ones where it's like, I think, did ER do one?
With what?
With one of those other John Wells shows? I'm not sure, no. But I know that some of those ones, so Third Watch, I think, had a crossover episode with another show. So
all the Chicago
of those
ones do all the time.
Well, yeah, and yeah, the NCIS's have crossed over a few times.
And the, what's the one that Terry loves?
Oh, Law and Order.
Law
SVU.
And Order. SVU
yes.
And Law and Order.
Yes,
and
they've done
the
that.
Other, the new Law and Order one.
Yeah. So those kind of things. And the CSIs, I'm sure, have done one at one point.
Of course. Yeah.
So what we're saying is I prepared a new TV.
No, I prepared a bit. I would like to say the one that was surprisingly good was the Simpsons Family Guy one.
That's cool. Often cited as a good one.
Because it was more Simpsons-y than Family Guy-y, which
thank
was
God.
Key. Exactly, yeah, because I'm not a huge fan of Family Guy either, although it has famously...
It has its fans. Famously does have its fans, yeah.
It has millions of fans who are very, very committed to Family Guy. But that crossover was really fun. And what's the definition of a crossover? Because is it as two shows that are still going that...
I don't know that they necessarily...
No, well, in that case, of course, I am predictably going to say two examples in the world of comedy. Yes, Frasier and Cheers.
Yeah.
There was an excellent episode.
That, you can't... I suppose you can. It's a spin-off, but yeah, all right. You can kind of get away with
well,
it.
Well, you've given me carte blanche.
Kind of. That's like an X-Files Millennium crossover, of which there was one.
Right.
Yeah,
that's fine. Anyway, there was a really good episode of Frasier where they was doing a Cheers reunion in like an airport bar, and Frasier and Niles and they all there. And it was fantastic. It's a really, really good episode.
That is a good example.
Get all of them there to go, because there were other episodes where individual characters popped up, and they were fine.
What, Frasier?
Yeah, and Frasier from
Cliff.
Cheers.
Did Cliff pop up?
Cliff was in this episode. Cliff and Norm, all the classics are in there, and it's really funny. And the other one, of course, is almost an entire season of Curb was about bringing back Seinfeld. So that was a brilliant, that was my favourite ever season of Curb, where Larry decided to bring back Seinfeld just so he could get back with his ex-wife, because she was annoyed with him just lounging about not doing any work. So he was like, all right, I'm going to create a...
What, Cheryl?
Yeah, Cheryl, yeah. So he deliberately created a new version of Seinfeld and it went brilliantly wrong. But all of the ex-Seinfeld people came back brilliantly.
Oh,
Jerry,
cool.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, etc. It was fantastic. And they brought out the old set and all of that. It was just brilliant. So yeah, that's my favourite.
The correct answer to this, much as I will never watch it, is probably the Crisis on Infinite Earths thing where all the Arrowverse shows kind of imploded into one, which apparently was really good, but I didn't watch it, so I can't really say. Ones that I liked, I quite enjoyed the Mad About You Friends one, because I liked both shows, so that was quite fun. I also...
Lisa Kudrow
who plays roles in both of them, yeah, absolutely. I really liked David E. Kelly's The Practice. I really like that. And that crossed over with Ally McBeal at one point. Ooh. It span off into Boston Legal, so that doesn't really count. But Boston Legal, also great. What else have I got? The Angel Buffy one isn't bad. It's not spectacular, because I don't tend to think a lot of the times these crossovers are brilliant. I think sometimes it's quite fun to see these two shows you love sharing the screen. But oftentimes I think they struggle to do justice to all the characters because they're trying to blend two shows often with two different tones together. I'm not sure that it necessarily works all that well. But certainly that's a thing that happened. The Arrowverse also did a Lucifer crossover, if I'm right in saying, because I think John Constantine turns up in Lucifer at one point. There's also Simpsons X-Files crossover. Can you call it a crossover if it's just Mulder and Scully being in The Simpsons, or is that just a guest appearance?
No, I think so. Who can define
what it is? Here's the thing that I didn't know that happened. I Love Lucy did an Adventures of Superman crossover. This is absolutely true. Absolutely, George Reeves turned up on I Love Lucy as Superman in character. So there was a crossover of that.
Wow.
Haven't seen it. Sounds wild, though.
Haven't you got all of the I Love Lucy episodes on DVD?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't watch I Love Lucy. You got to be joking. Come on.
I am joking.
Yeah. You are joking. Okay, good. Well, that's great.
I mean, that is it was an so indication.
Dry. So dry.
That James doesn't get comedy.
To create your word.
if there was one, yeah.
Yes, I'm like Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. I take everything absolutely literally.
Yeah.
True that.
Any other contenders for this? No. And okay, you only like to give us one answer. So
yes, you've had my answer, James.
Okay, fine.
Don't be greedy.
I guess that's the question answered. We hope you enjoyed that insight into our lives. If you would like a question answered on this or indeed on Pilot Plus, do send them to us via DM at Pilot TV Pod on Twitter or Instagram, or to me at James C. Dyer, just on Instagram. Should we talk about some news? There's not a lot of news this week, but there are at least two things which are quite big. Kay, would you like to start with the first one?
Yes. Well, I don't know if it's what you're talking about, but...
I mean, it's about Star Trek Strange New Worlds, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, did you hear that as well? No, it's not. It's about Kim Cattrall.
Who's crossing over with Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Kim Cattrall is going to appear in the new series of And Just Like That, which I find completely...
Who saw that coming?
Because it's well reported, the rift between Kim and SJP. And, you know, there's no love lost there. And she always vowed she wouldn't do anything again with them. You know, like she was really done with that character and, more importantly, SJP. And now it's been announced, or rather, you know, in Variety reports that the actress will, you know, reprise her role. But before anyone gets excited, it will just be a phone call, apparently.
Yeah. And obviously, and they never crossed paths at any point.
She won't speak to SJP. It'll be very, you know, like TV magic.
Do you think they just turned up to her house with a wheelbarrow full of cash and said, all you've got to do is pick up the phone and talk to no one?
They will have done it. And I've really am kind of like frustrated by that, because, you know, the fact that she...
we will see her on screen. Did you say that?
Yes, but she's. I think she's talking on the phone to Carrie.
Obviously,
she's talking to
her. For those megabucks, you want to see her on the screen.
Well, they confirmed that costume designer Patricia Field has worked on a dress for the scene. So, there we go.
Yeah. Because, you know, they could have had her in there and just gone full, you know, good wife on the whole thing. Gone full Juliana Margulies, Archie Punjabi, and just, you know, green screen them in, done cutaways, used doubles. I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that they did so much of it and just never saw each other.
When did that start?
I don't know. I'd have to look into it to know exactly. But the feud, but it went on for a few seasons, didn't it? Like, it wasn't.
And do we know what it was because of?
I don't know, Boydie. You probably know both of them.
Was it just personality?
You were probably there. Was it over you, Boydie? Did you start the feud?
Yes, that's right.
Text them now, Boyd.
Okay.
Famously, Boyd, what was it about?
Famously, I don't know.
We need to look into it.
Yes. I'm guessing money, but that is a guess. Yeah. Usually money.
No, but I think
I think it's personality clash.
Yeah, I feel like, you know.
Whose team would you be on?
Oh, that's a difficult one.
Go on.
That's a difficult one. I'm not saying.
I'm gonna be
Team Archie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Team Archie all the way.
Kalinda for the win.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to drink tequila with her. Both wearing leather skirts. Do you remember she used to wear leather jacket? Very bold, double leather approach. But yeah. So that's my big news of the week, Boydo. Anything?
Well, Boyd is obviously going to tell you that The Witcher is getting a fifth season, even though the fourth season, which is shooting with Liam Hemsworth playing Geralt instead of Henry Cavill, but they're saying that a fifth season they're going to go straight into after shooting the fourth.
Thunder?
Well, I'm helping Boydie, because I know that would be the most important news for Boyd.
In no scenario is that the most important news.
I'm obsessed with scenario. Wasn't it scenario?
No, scenario is the right pronunciation. Yeah,
he said scenario.
I said scenario. Instead of clearly scenario.
Yeah. Gigantic doofus.
No, the news story that really fascinated me this week is quite a long thing, but I will shorten it.
It's not what I thought you'd go for.
No. It's the whole thing about the poisonous culture in when they made Lost.
Oh my God!
No. Yes.
Could I just say? So this is Mo Ryan's book, isn't it?
Yep.
And this is an excerpt for
Maureen Ryan.
Yeah, but she goes by Mo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Mo to
Mo to me. She's Mo to me.
And
she said an excerpt for her book ran in Fantasy Fair. And could I just say, as far as excerpts go, this excerpt must be 20,000 words
long.
It took me about an hour to get through it. It is so long.
It's fascinating.
Is it in the new Vanity Fair?
It's up on their website. It's on their website. But bloody hell.
It's extraordinary. And the chapter, she says the chapter in the book about it is even longer. So this is the edited version.
What's the top lines?
The top line is, what's that, TLDR? Is that the writer's room, particularly, was a toxic atmosphere.
Septic tank.
It was a septic tank. There was racism, sexism, and just generally the treatment of people of colour was awful, and the stretch to the cast as well. So,
Really?
Yeah. So, you know...
What, the cast treating people of colour or... People of colour within the cast
being discarded.
Yeah, Harold Perrineau is quoted quite extensively.
Harold Perrineau particularly,
But fascinatingly, so she also does talk to Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof
and
basically holds their feet to the fire over the toxicity, which apparently did stem from their offices.
Damon Lindelof is kind of very, I would say, what's the word? Apologetic.
He's quite, he's contrite about it,
He says, you know, it was a younger version of me that he kind of renounces that younger version of himself, basically. Mm. I think he was like in his early 30s or whatever.
Not that young.
I know. Not exactly. Yeah. I mean, that point has, she does very good. She does hold his feet to the fire because she goes, well, you weren't that young and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But it, kind of there are wider kind of, for me, it's like this story is so fascinating because I find the whole concept of writer's rooms quite scary, right? And we talked about this with the writer's strike, that there's such a cultural difference between British drama and American drama. And I know, as I said a few weeks ago, I know there are more and more writer's rooms in British scripted stuff. But it's still, the model for British TV was always single or maybe a duo writing every episode of their show. And series were much shorter. The reason why Americans have these writer's rooms is because they have 24 episode series. So they have to, you know, it is like an industry. It's more like a soap in a way.
Yeah.
So there are writer's rooms in soaps effectively, aren't there? Anyway, I just read this thing and I thought, I bet loads of writers' rooms run by men, you know, run by white men, you know, forever have been toxic because it's such an intense process.
Also the power that showrunners in particular have. If you have people where power is centralized so critically in like one or two people, there will be abuses of that power.
Yeah. Now, I know for a fact that, for example, Succession, because you know the famous point, loads of script books from Succession.
Yes.
And in the intros
read something with Lucy Prebble has written. Yeah.
But a couple of the female writers on Succession have written articles in The Guardian and I think intros to those books saying how the writer was brilliant in Succession because Jesse Armstrong, who is a lovely guy, he absolutely made sure that was not in any way toxic and made sure it was a fantastic working environment for everyone.
Still must have been terrifying, by the way.
Oh, of course.
Don't you think pitching in one of those in those writing rooms?
Absolutely, yeah. And they all talk about what the pitching process was like.
I just shit myself.
Yeah. But I think, you know, I'm sure there are loads of these stories that are going to come out of toxic writers' rooms.
Not
Succession, no. But that's, you know, and that doesn't, I'm not saying that they're all like this particular one, but it is a fascinating article.
Mm.
And it kind of, I wonder if you've, I mean, well, I think we always agree, you and I, James, that lost its way quite a lot and we didn't find it very satisfying in the end. But I know there are loads of people who worship that show. And I wonder if you do worship that show, does it, you know, does it kind of put a crimp on your fondness for it? Because I think it would if I was that obsessed with it.
I mean, it goes into such detail. They talk about the writers who were writing the tailie sections of it and how they were almost treated like the tailies of the writer's room. And talking about, there's a particularly sort of like harsh bit when talking about Carlton Cuse, to be fair to him, does entirely deny this.
Yes.
But the way he talked about the exit of Mr. Echo, Adewale Akinnoye Akbaje's character. And it's like, that's quite close to the knuckle.
Yeah.
And the way Harold Perrineau's concerned over what was happening with the characters of colour were kind of dismissed.
Yeah. There's also two women wrote an episode and it was so good and popular among the fans that Carlton Cuse, this co-showrunner, couldn't deal with it. And allegedly, he denies this bit as well. I think he wanted them to buy him a present or something.
What?
Yeah, that bit. That is mad. Oh, that's the mad bit. He outright denies that. But, you know.
Yeah, because it would make him a ridiculous human being.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it seems really, really toxic.
The other thing
toxic.
I was going to say is I went on set, famously.
You're so lucky. What jammed it was?
Boy, do tell me, what indignities did you suffer on set in Hawaii at your five-star hotel?
The point I was going to make was, genuinely, I'm not just showing off. I'm partly showing off because I do mention this every single time.
He does like
time.
Show off.
I do mention this loss. It was the greatest set visit in the history of the world. It's Hawaii.
Do you know how many times I've heard this story?
But
was there a live sex show while you were there?
not that I know of. I'm sure there was.
With grass skirts.
It was an amazing trip. But we did interview Damon Lindelof and Colin Coutts, I remember, and that, particularly about, you know, do you know how you're planning to reveal what the fuck's going on in this show? Because it was the classic puzzle box mystery show. But what's interesting is you don't have any idea. You know, when you're everyone's on best behaviour. All the cast were lovely. We interviewed everyone, Harold Perrineau included, who's featured this thing. Everyone's being lovely, and it completely shows you.
Yeah.
That you get a totally fake idea.
If you'd been like stumbling around for some snacks and opened that door, that writer's room, you would have found out the truth.
But that's how, you know, when you have journalists on set. I was on set visit for a film. I will not say what it was, but that everyone was like really complimentary about everyone and the director and all sorts of things. And then I subsequently found out that was very, very, very much not the case. But obviously, there's a journalist on set, everyone be best behaviour.
Standard.
But they were all miserable and having a horrific time.
Yeah, it happens a lot. It's fascinating. I did another. There was a comedy show that I went on set of once, and kind of got to know some of the cast quite well, actually. And only like literally a year later, it went out on TV. It got nice reviews. Everyone, and honestly, I just a social event. I spoke to one of the people, and they were like, "You have no idea." It was a toxic hotbed of misery.
To know which one that is.
Yeah. I'll tell you out off air.
Yeah.
That's annoying. Sorry. But yeah, it's interesting.
But I think you're right. Like, I think now this domino has fallen, I think we'll hear more about more toxic writers' rooms.
Yeah. There we go. But that was my other news story. It wasn't the one you were thinking of.
It wasn't. The one I thought you were going to mention was three words that I have for you. The Office Australia.
Oh, yeah. The Office Australia is coming to...
The Office Australia is coming to Prime Video.
You know what, though? I do love all Australian shows now.
Well, yeah, that's
based
true.
Based on Colin.
Colin is not in this one.
Except for Deadlock.
Let me rephrase that.
I do love Colin from Accounts, so maybe I like this.
Well, this has got Felicity Ward in it, and it is essentially from the creators of The Office, in theory. But it's based in Australia. It's, you know.
Yeah, I'm into it.
The Office Australia.
Bring it on.
It's a female-led
office. It's a Hannah Howard is the main character. Yes, it's a female spin on the whole thing. But it's not going to launch until next year. Okay?
Yeah, it's going to launch on Prime Video globally, excluding the US. I don't know where it's launching in the US, but then that doesn't affect us that much anyway.
Yeah, I'd be fascinated
to see Australia.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Are you against this, Kay, on principle, or are you?
No, I'm into it.
I was thinking
if I could wangle a trip to Australia to do a set visit,
and then
it reminded me about the Fiji trip, and so I was just Googling to see if we had any more info on when that show was going to TX. And stop filming.
Well, presumably, you know, if you needed to, you could just stay with the Colin guys because you're such close friends now. So that would be fine.
If I could be friends with them, that would be the great. Honestly, they're such a great couple.
Set visit for Colin from Account Season 2.
You are set friends with them after your interview.
Yeah, you sounded friendly.
Not enough to stay over.
I think they probably got to go.
But when Series 2 comes on, I definitely want to do a whole episode dedicated to it. James, I'm in for that, actually.
Brilliant. Yes.
Okay, I thought I'd have to work on you.
I'm a full Colin stan at this point, even though it's a comedy. It was lovely.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Right. Any other news that doesn't involve toxic writers' rooms or spin-offs of The Office?
Nothing from me.
There must be more. I refuse to believe there is not more. Boydie, give me more news.
There was a report in Variety about the biggest shows of the year. So far, like the season, you know, if you think about the TV season in America starts in the fall of last year, going through to the spring of this year, they've done a story in kind of what the biggest successes were. And basically Yellowstone, you may not be surprised to know, is still the biggest show on American TV and is absolutely massive, which is why kind of there's all those spin-offs from it. You know, it's never going to end, basically. Taylor Sheridan's domination of American television.
What else is on the list?
Good question, Kay. I'm going to get to that. Fire Country. I haven't even heard of this show. This is the year's hottest new show.
Clearly.
About an elite group of firefighters and the prison release program that assists in extinguishing massive wildfires in North California.
Is this not just like, is this not the thing from Entourage? It's Smoke Jumpers.
It is. Yeah, it's basically Smoke Jumpers. It's a Jerry Bruckheimer production and it's fucking massive. It's the number one new drama. I've never heard of it. Fire Country on CBS. And it just shows you, because CBS is very good at churning out kind of big mainstream procedurals. And they're massive in America, watched by gazillions of people, but no one really cares about them because they're unsexy and they're not, you know, they're not Ponzi streaming stuff.
Yeah.
So that is the biggest show. Other huge shows, Young Sheldon still does really well. That's the biggest sitcom in America.
Really?
Ghosts, the American Ghosts.
American Ghosts is fine. I wouldn't say it's a step up on the British one, but it is fine.
It's the second biggest comedy in America on American TV right now.
It's decent.
Yeah, and The Conners, which is shown on Sky, actually. I watched a bit of the other day and I didn't like it.
Boyd's railing against this list.
And ABBA Elementary, then ABBA Elementary, which is your favourite.
Yeah, obviously. That's really good.
Yeah. That's about it. There you go.
Excellent. Does that mark the end of news, are we saying?
I think it might do.
We're
sure,
done.
Sure,
we're
you
done.
Don't want to? Yeah. No, no more news.
I'm calling time on it, James.
Kay has called time on news. Okay, fine. Well, that's it from news.
I just want to mention something. I mean, don't know if it classifies as news. It's a tweet that we had, which was basically from Sea Witch, 1692. And she also teared up at So Long Farewell in Ted Lasso. You know, you guys were saying, oh, you know, that didn't make you emotional.
At no point did I say that.
You
and
did.
If you were a Pilot Plus subscriber, you would know that I said I welled up multiple times
but
during the final
that.
Episode of Ted Lasso.
But not
just
at that.
Not just, at the, yeah, yeah not at
no,
the,
well, she,
the
they
musical
said
number.
They were moved by that and how the team reacted when Ted said they nailed it. But also she's saying, like, after these great series finales, including Happy Valley, I need to take a break from TV. Catch you all in the fall. I'm glad to support Pilot TV Plus. Come back, Sea Witch 1692.
So, Sea Witch 1692 is continuing to subscribe to Pilot Plus.
Yeah,
we appreciate that. But is not watching TV now until autumn.
No, they're done.
Why is she done again?
Why is she done? She, I think it's just like...
Ted's finished her off.
Oh.
Yeah, no, just I think all the epic season finale.
Just too much. Too much good TV in one week.
I want them to come back.
Sensory overload.
Really?
Yeah. So anyway.
Oh, okay.
There was one other news story, actually, I forgot.
Oh, okay, no, bring back the news. Go for it.
I'm bringing back the news. It's just anarchy now.
Anarchy.
Soccer Aid for UNICEF is on next Sunday, hosted by TV's Dermot O'Leary. And among the stars taking part, right, are Stormzy, Tom Hiddleston, Danny Dyer, etc. But the best one.
I do love Danny Dyer.
Danny Dyer, brilliant.
Which Danny Dyer?
Oh, senior all the way.
Yeah, senior, yeah. But the best thing is, Penn Badgley of You is taking part. How brilliant is that?
That is a really good signing.
Yeah, really good signing. The U dude.
He will be fully clothed. He'll never swap his top with anyone.
Will he have his lustrous beard?
Who knows? I don't know.
It might slow him down.
Yeah, it might. But I'll be definitely tuned in to see. Yeah, fascinating.
What is this show? Sorry, I'm confused.
It's Soccer Aid, UNICEF. It's basically
so it's just playing the football.
It's a massive annual charity event where two teams, the rest of the world and England, with a mixture of ex-professionals and legends and celebrities, famous celebrities that you won't have heard of, apart from Tom Hiddleston and Badgley.
Yeah.
They play football
ever
together. And it was kind of invented by Robbie Williams and his mate, wasn't it?
I think so.
It's been going on for like 10 years now or more. But it's a huge event. It's a great event.
Ever since Tom Hiddleston wore that really unflattering vest in the sea, which said, I heart TS. I think I mentioned this before, Taylor Swift. I can't.
My understanding of that story was that he didn't have a t-shirt on. It was given to him as a joke to wear.
Yeah, that's
like,
right.
It wasn't like he was wearing it because he thought it was cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, but you're in the sea. You cannot have a t-shirt on.
But he may have a fair complexion like myself and not be willing to get burned.
Well, put some sunscreen on and just get in the sea.
You should always cover up in the sun, Kate. Skin cancer is no laughing matter.
Don't twist it, you little shit.
Be sun aware.
Anyway.
Good. Are we done with news? Are we done with tweets? Is there anything else? What's happening in Fiji, Kay?
Oh my God, no, that is a bit of news I need to break to you.
So, are you serious?
No, for real, guys. I've stopped looking at it as regularly because, you know, I was getting a bit obsessed with the where we were in Fiji. We are down by 9 places in Fiji now.
Hang on.
We've got some serious work
to do. So we're plummeting in the Fijian charts.
They really hate us. No, we're down to number 23. But a bit of good news, we're up in Bermuda.
We're up in Bermuda. Okay,
we're
good.
Up to 121 in Bermuda.
Unless the person from Fiji is on holiday in Bermuda, and that's where they're listening to the podcast.
Oh, shit, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Okay. See? Well, bottom line is, I do need to get to Fiji ASAP to work on the PR for the podcast.
All right, we'll work on that. Maybe you can stop off there on your way to Australia. Right, let's move on to this week's reviews. And first up this week, we have Arnold. This is the 3-part Netflix documentary on the life of Arnold Schwarzenegger, from his humble beginnings in Austria to becoming a big old champion bodybuilder, to Hollywood, to the governor's mansion in California. Boydie, come on, tell me about it. Do it now. Here I am. Come on, tell me. Do it now.
Oh my God.
I'm scared. Everyone.
That was incredible. And also, a vein was pulsating on his James' forehead that looked like it was actually going to burst.
Come on, I'm here. Tell me.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, Arnold, I mean, we wouldn't normally do. When's the last time we did a documentary series?
Hey, I will point you to various points in the past where we have done documentaries on this podcast.
Not for about 2 years, but whatever. We're clearly doing this to sate James Dyer's obsession with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And as I mentioned last week, it's well timed because our friend Nick Desemley in his book is coming out.
That's right. Features Arnie on the Last Action Heroes.
Last Action Heroes.
And also, Arnie's had that massive promotion within Netflix.
He's got Fubar coming out.
This must be
out.
Part of his Netflix deal that, oh yeah, I'm going to do a big documentary.
Well, is he Commander in Chief of a violent film,
Chief Action Officer. I should also point out, when we reviewed Fubar, I believe I said something like, oh, he's nearly 70. And what I obviously meant was, he's nearly 80, because he's like, he's 75. 80? I did actually know that. I misspoke. Yeah. Apologies.
So the tagline on this show is one man, three lifetimes. And what that's referring to is that he started out as a bodybuilder, of course, and then he became a politician. Well, he became an actor in lots of films, and he also became a politician. Yes. So he has got three distinct, which is fascinating in itself. So
he has
had a pretty incredible life. Yeah, yeah, completely. Don't get me wrong.
Full stop,
you're,
boys.
You're all right.
very defensive of Arnie there.
Steady. Yeah. All that's the first episode. I've only watched the first episode. The first episode is obviously dominated by his bodybuilding career and how he, as he went from a kid, why he became fascinated by it. And it is interesting because he talks about how his dad, you know, thought it was weird that he had pictures of basically semi-naked men on his wall rather than, there are no ladies, where are the ladies? He kept saying to him, we can all do Arnie impressions.
Oh, is that what that was? Yeah. Sorry.
Oh! Ooh. The gloves are off.
Oh my God.
Wow.
I thought you were being Herr Fleek from a lower low, but carry on.
It was a little bit, but...
Okay. And it was quite interesting. All I'd say is, if you've seen the film Pumping Iron, which is an existing, pre-existing, classic documentary about this whole world that Arnie was in of bodybuilding, focused particularly on him, then you'll know all of this stuff.
Well, footage from that is in this.
That's true.
But for everyone who hasn't, this was deeply fascinating.
Also, crucially, how many episodes of this did you watch?
Only one.
Well, see, this is where you went wrong. Of course, myself watched all three episodes, or three and a half hours.
You're so diligent.
Because myself. I am that diligent and committed to this podcast. But so it is very clearly delineated. The first one is bodybuilding, the middle one is movies, and the third one is politics.
Yeah, that's sure.
So it is all of these things. But
I should have carried on watching, but I didn't.
Yes, you should.
I watched the first. Spiking.
Yeah,
he's
really?
Very defensive about Arnie. You know,
should I tell you why?
Because there's some Arnie stories and they met him once or something.
No, I don't think it's particularly about Arnie, although it might be. I think it's ever since you picked him up on the scenario. How do you say it?
Scenario,
he's got a bit spiky.
It's a spiky Arnie scenario, But you do have some, isn't there some story? Did he tweet you or something?
did he tweet me? I have a history with Arnold,
you consider
what is your history?
Best friend.
My history with Arnold, I did a Empire's longest ever feature, which was 9,500 words, I think it was.
Oh my gosh,
I did a big Arnold thing where I spent several days with him and I went out to a premiere. Where I walked the red carpet with him and like hung out with him.
Oh my god! Just the visual of James.
There are pictures of it. Yeah,
Arnie.
It was very surreal. And then I went out to his office and hung out with him, and he gave me a tour of his office in Santa Monica.
Lovely?
He was lovely. He gave me a gift. He gave me this box set. It's like a bronze set, and it's all his favorite films.
Oh.
Two of them are his films, like Twins and Terminator 2. And it's his favorite films. It has the seal of the governor on it. It's very cool.
Twins was one of them. That's
Twins,
hilarious.
Yes, absolutely is true.
Were there any good films?
I think Titanic's in there. I think Ben Hur is in there. But Twins and Terminator 2 in there. So I spent quite a bit of time with. So I've heard a lot of the stuff in this documentary from the horse's mouth.
Of course. Yeah. From the horse's mouth.
okay, you need to stop again. With that.
It was entertaining. It was very well filmed. It was very slick, as you'd expect it. But I need to watch some more because there was nothing in the first one that really surprised me. The most interesting bits were that stuff about his dad kind of judging him.
But did you not find, I would imagine that you'd have thought, okay, the first one's all about bodybuilding. Like, your interest in bodybuilding, I would have thought, is limited, right? Just generally. But didn't you think this was fascinating despite being about bodybuilding?
Oh, I even... though it was about bodybuilding, I still found it fascinating because it's the discipline he showed and the fact that, you know, he basically made all of this happen through his dedication. I mean, he is king of like manifestation, if anything. Do you know what I mean? Like visualizing it over and over again. He'd be looking at these pictures. He would put his face on the picture of the famous guy he wanted to be, that
Reg Park.
You know, he was training constantly. He just had this, he was really sort of like just so laser focused in his and in his determination to make it. And he made it happen. And his whole thing is, if I see it, I can achieve it. How incredible is that?
It's
so
amazing.
Actually, I found it astonishing. Like, and you know, I found also the bodybuilding aspect of it really interesting as well, because I was like, how is he human? At some stages, his body didn't resemble anything that I've ever seen before.
When he wins Mr. Olympia, he is so big.
Yeah.
Like, just ridiculous.
Almost grotesquely large.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. I mean, like, you know, Boydie and I, both of us have what, 2-3% body fat, so we understand. But I mean, he was on a whole other level.
Yeah, no, it was insane. And like, also just as you said, like Boyd, the talking about the, like painting this really dark and disturbing picture of his childhood and how it affected his brother, and how Arnold used that as the fuel to, like, you know, he was obsessed with getting to America. I just found it all really interesting. But the most fascinating thing, not the most fascinating thing, the thing that I was a bit obsessed with was the fact that in the modern day world, like current day, he has a donkey that freely roams in his kitchen.
Do you not know this?
No.
Lulu, and I can't remember the other one. Yeah, so he has like a donkey and a little Shetland pony.
And a goat. Actually, it was a goat, wasn't it?
No, it's a Shetland pony and a donkey. He may well have a goat as well. He's got also, he's got a dog. He was on TikTok with Lulu and the other animal, the donkey and the horse. He's always on TikTok with them. He's
obsessed.
Wild about it. He lives with these animals. He's great.
And also the fact that he's still working out now. Like, physically, he's still able to work out. Not in the same way, of course, but like...
I was trying to spot his Empire Award, because in his study, his Empire Award is on the shelf in his study, but you couldn't see it at any point in the documentary, though sometimes you can when he posts on social media, which is very cool.
Doing your little still frames of the...
Where is it? I'm hoping that he's got my feature framed somewhere in that room as well. But I mean, I couldn't see it. It was probably just out of shot, I would have thought.
What did you think, James? Did you enjoy it?
I think it's amazing. I genuinely thought it was a brilliant documentary because, I'm in the tank for this subject matter anyway, but I was thinking, well, I really only want to watch the middle one because the film one is the one that I'm interested in, bodybuilding stuff. But I was captivated by it from his childhood stuff. And like, I've got his autobiography signed, obviously. And, you know, and so I know a lot about this stuff because I've literally interviewed the man for many, many hours. But it was just the way he tells the story. And it's like, it starts off with this, you think it's going to be very overinflated, and then he kind of punctures it slightly. And he's quite honest through this, which surprised me. And you won't have got to this, but even the seedier aspects, like the sexual misconduct, they cover it. And the affair with the housekeeper the love child that came out and the end of his marriage, all of that is covered. And to be fair to them, not only do they cover it, they interview the writers from the LA Times who broke the story to talk about it, to make it, you know, I mean, look, let's not pretend it isn't spun to a certain extent, because clearly they've edited
it. Say?
No, but he could have ignored it altogether.
He fesses up to it. Like, he was like, yeah, absolutely, you know, this was terrible behaviour, and he kind of apologises for it and says, you know, it was awful, I don't have any excuse. And, you know, I thought it was refreshing, because I would 100% have thought they would have left that out, skipped it completely, but they don't. And I guess certainly the impropriety stuff is a very important part of the political story, which again, the first part, the bodybuilding part, is interesting. The film part is obviously fascinating. James Cameron's in it. Sylvester Stallone's in it. So many. Jamie Lee Curtis turns up. Linda Hamilton turns up. Ivan Reitman, Danny DeVito. There are loads of great people in there talking. But once you get into the political one, it's fascinating seeing how he seized the opportunity to run for politics when there was a recall election, so he didn't have to go through a Republican primary, and how he made the decision to do it, and how his wife
was
involved. But really, like, playing the angles. Because obviously when I interviewed him, it was very much about his film career. And I didn't look into the political side of it because it wasn't relevant to the Empire piece. It wasn't the piece I was writing. It wasn't about the politics, even though he'd come out of the governorship by that point. So a lot of that stuff I really didn't know a lot about. But it was really interesting. He talks through like the defeats he had as in politics and how it really shook his confidence, how it really affected him. Because bear in mind, he's a guy who'd succeeded at almost everything he'd ever done. And suddenly he was up against something that he couldn't win at. And it really shook him, like really shook him. And it's really interesting. He's very, very honest and open about it.
I really feel like Arnie can do anything he puts his mind to.
Well, he gives you that impression. Yeah. I think, and he talks about this, he has a single-mindedness where he wants something and he just commits 100% of his waking time to doing it. Like, he saw this bodybuilding thing, I want to do this, therefore he trained however many hours a day, every
Seven
day.
7 hours.
He just did it because that's what was needed to be done. And he felt like, and so every time he's wanted to do something, he just commits to it and does it. But to have risen to the top of three completely... It's like if he, one of those things, if any one person had achieved one of those things, it would be incredible. And he's one guy who has become the most famous, most successful bodybuilder in the history of the sport, the biggest, most highly paid movie star in the world, and achieved the highest political office in America he can as a non-American native. He can never be president because he wasn't born in the United States.
I have to say, after watching it, I did think, God, what am I doing with my life?
And it's like, what have I done? We've got a podcast. And this is it. He doesn't have a podcast, to be fair. He probably does.
Oh, what a loser.
He probably does have a podcast. He probably does it with a donkey. Yeah.
Steady.
No, the podcast, boy. We're not back on the live sex shows. Calm down.
We're not back in Barcelona with you, guys.
No one's wearing Ezekiel. Yeah, so his life, I think, is a really, really fascinating story. And I think these documentaries really... do a good job of conveying. I think it's riveting storytelling, and I'd only intended to watch one episode, and I blazed through all three of them.
He's very engaging.
Like, he is,
and charismatic.
He's
and stuff.
Great.
I will watch the rest.
Yeah, I think he's fabulous.
Good choice, James.
Yes, aren't you glad I made you watch this documentary that I 100% wanted to see?
What a triumph!
Arnold, then, which comes to Netflix courtesy of its chief action officer on, I'm going to say Friday. Is it Friday?
June 7th. What day is that?
Is it Friday?
Is that Friday?
No, Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
Clearly comedy. Right, fine. Okay, that's Arnold. Pick of the week. Anyway, next up this week we have...
Subtle.
Next up this week we have Significant Other. This is adapted from an Israeli series of the same name. This stars Yusuf Kakur and Catherine Parkinson as two neighbours drawn together after a shared trip in an ambulance to, you know, subsequently begin a relationship. Kay, please tell us the significance of this.
So, this isn't a spoiler, I hasten to add, it happens within the first few minutes. Yusef's character, Sam, takes an overdose and he's waiting for it to kick in when there's a knock on the door, his door, and there's a neighbour randomly calls upon him to give her assistance.
Boy, just reading a magazine at this
Apologies, guys. Not only has Boy yawned while I was talking, he's now just reading a magazine.
He's just leafing through a magazine.
No, I'm waiting. I was finding a bit to help me with my review of the show. Carry on.
It's Vanity Fair. It's not even heat.
Yeah.
How rude. Yeah, calls upon her his assistance as she is in the midst of a heart attack. And that's the whole premise. It's like this, it's a very funny concept. It's a very unusual meet cute of these two characters who are both, it's this whole show, it's like darkly comic, and it deals with the subjects of loneliness, despair, second chances, etc. I found this one a bit hard because I really, really wanted to love it because I love Yusef and I love Catherine Parkinson's, and it is good. I just think I was wanting it to be even funnier than I think it was. But it is good. It does, you know, it does a good job of portraying these two people who deserve second chances and are very lonely and troubled, and they find each other. And it, you know, it's a decent dark comedy. We should say also that Kelly Bryan is in it, who, as everyone knows, is from Eternal, and it's always good to see her on screen. She's currently, I think, in Hollyoaks, but she pops it up in this as Sam's wife, who he is estranged from, and that's another cause of him being very, like, depressed and sad. Anyone else want to say?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? It's adapted from an Israeli original, I believe. It's part of ITVX's. We should say ITVX. So we did the Alan Carr show last week. So every week now for a month, this month, there's a different new six-part comedy. They launch every Thursday. And this is the second one. There's a couple more to go. Count Abdullah, I think, is the next one, which is like a vampire comedy. And the first thing I thought is, for ITV, this is essentially ITV commissioning comedies, which is not something they do a lot of in the last 10, 15 years or so. And it's pretty amazing. I really like the Alan Carr one. But this is kind of like not your average, you know, mainstream sitcom. It's quite out there, isn't it? I mean, in the premise...
It's like Channel 4.
Yeah, it does.
It has an edginess to it that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, so beginning with him trying to take his own life effectively, which is a device that I've seen quite a lot. It slightly irritates me as a kind of, I don't know, something about using that as an opening thing to very self-consciously show you're being dark and edgy. I'm not quite sure about that, but he is great. I think that if it wasn't for the two of them, yes, brilliant, both brilliant, I don't think I'd like it that much.
I completely agree. Yeah,
it all relies on the fact that you've got Catherine Parkinson and him.
And they are great together. Great. Yeah. Mm.
He's a great comedic actor. He's got brilliant. So much time for
so
him.
So is she. She's fantastic. Like, oh, there's a brilliant kind of running joke in the first episode that people say she's older and you know, plainer than she really is, obviously. And it's going, oh, yeah, but my wife's beautiful. And you would know what that's like. And all stuff like that, which she deals with very kind of plaintive way, a kind of poignant way as well. So it's all about them, really, for me. What I found, I did enjoy it. I kind of enjoyed it. It's not quite as dark as the description of that opening of these two people, one person having a heart attack and the other trying to take their own life, coming together, assumes, because actually it's not really dark at all. I think it's like the subject matter is, but the way it's dealt with is fairly light, actually, I would say, tonally, which is fine, and I perfectly enjoyed it. But I got to the end of the first episode, right, and I thought, this is a perfectly good, brilliantly performed half-hour rom-com. And I don't need to see any more, particularly.
I completely agree.
If you didn't know that there were five more episodes, which I did know because I've read the press release and I've read the previews of it, I'd be like, oh, that's a lovely.
You think it could just work as a short?
And I'm like, that's a lovely short. I'm not sure. I was surprised by how little kind of drive there was at the end of the episode to get you to watch on further. It's quite weird, I thought, and slightly misguided, because I was like, yeah, I'm happy with that. I know what happens now.
To be fair, by the end, I was also like, I'm kind of okay not necessarily seeing another episode.
You can tell, you know, this is a mismatched people rom-com idea.
And you assume they're going to get together anyway, because it's a rom-com and it's starring these two.
I haven't watched the rest of the episodes, by the way. If they don't get together and they don't form a relationship, then kudos to everyone involved, because that would be amazing. But I very much predict that they do. So yeah, it's a weird one, I think.
What about you, Jimbo?
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with any of that. I thought it was fun. I thought they were both great. I was gently amused all the way through.
Yeah, gently amusing is I would say is the correct word. Yeah, but they're both brilliant, aren't they?
They are. They're very good. I mean, obviously Yusuf Kakur was phenomenal in Home.
Oh, I want to go back and watch.
Can we just talk about Home, which apparently has disappeared? Is it All Four? Is it 4OD? What's it called anymore?
It's funny. There's Channel 4 live, watching it live. There's Channel 4 online, which is also just called Channel 4 now.
What?
Yes, I know. And I think that's Channel 4 Plus as well, which is a paid-for version where you see stuff in advance.
No, what? I want a differentiation between live.
I need different names. Well, anyway, apparently Home has vanished off Channel 4 online.
Are you joking? You know,
because Rufus Jones was saying on Twitter, I think it's gone. And so I tweeted at Channel 4. I'm like, what's going on with this? Didn't get a response, obviously. But I was like, that's awful, because Home is fantastic. I don't understand why you'd make it harder to find. Like, it's already quite difficult to find, because the name of the show is quite, as a search term, is quite generic.
Yes.
But that's upset me.
We need to make sure of this before we really kick off.
Well, so I trust Rufus. Rufus said it wasn't available on the Channel 4 site. I think someone had said to him on Twitter, it isn't there. And he was like, no, it isn't there.
Oh, gosh.
So I don't know where it's gone.
That is really annoying.
No episode available to watch on demand.
There you go.
Says that on the page.
We need to start a pilot
absolute
petition.
Absolute rampant twattery, Channel 4. Make it stop.
No, okay. Well, let's not do it like that.
Did I go in too hot there?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go lukewarm. So, Channel 4, if you're listening, please, can you just get it back up there?
Stop the twattery and put it back.
Okay.
Yes.
So, we're never going to see it again now. Thanks. Bye.
No, it's great. It's great. I really like that. I love that show. I was very upset.
Home and Mum are like my absolute faves.
Yeah. Do you only like comedies with one word?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's very monosyllabic.
Yeah. So
this would be called Other rather than Significant Other.
I might have liked it.
You might have liked it more.
Mm. I did like it. I think I'm underestimating how much I liked it in a way.
Are you doing a live reverse ferret?
No, I'm not. I'm just beep, kind of like,
beep, beep.
I did enjoy it. I thought they were both. I would actually carry on watching it because of them, in spite of the fact that I didn't think there was much reason at the end of that first episode to carry on watching.
So just to clarify, despite saying you had you felt no urge to watch another episode, you are now going to watch another episode.
A bit, yeah.
Okay, good to know. You should watch the next two Arnold episodes first.
Should I though?
Yes, I'm going to. Yeah.
There you go. See, Kay's going to watch it. Right, Significant Other, ITVX then. What day?
Thursday.
On Thursday. Super. Right, finally this week, we've got The Crowded Room on Apple. Now, this is based on a non-fiction book, but I strongly recommend you neither look up the non-fiction book nor, crucially, find out the name of it, because I kind of feel like even the name of the non-fiction book is something you don't want to have in your head. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to this series cold, so please take my advice on this. But anyway, this is set in 1979, stars Tom Holland as Danny Sullivan, who begins the show, shall we say, embroiled in a very public shooting before being sat down by Amanda Seyfried, who's his interrogator. And to whom he begins to recount his recent life. Boydie, is there room in your crowded life for this?
What's interesting is you talking about, yeah, absolutely, do not fucking look up this show on Wikipedia.
Which I did.
Don't look it. It's like that Elizabeth Moss show, not Elizabeth Shue show, series that we were like.
Oh, Shining Girls.
Shining Girls.
Well, with Shining Girls, I feel like if you read even the first line of the book synopsis, it would ruin the TV series. But I feel with this, if you know the name of the book in which it's based, it will ruin the show for you.
But interestingly, it is in the titles, the opening titles, they do say inspired by.
Which is not helpful.
Not helpful at all, exactly. And because they've taken the decision to withhold the information that the readers of that book would know as soon as they start reading it, effectively, and anything that's written about that book, it's kind of, they should have tried harder, I think, to avoid showing viewers what the inspiration was in a way.
100%.
I know they have to give credit.
Yeah.
Legally, I'm sure.
But it just,
it's an issue because
it was
like,
annoying.
Oh, right. It's annoying, yeah. And you're kind of, hence your way. This is the show, by the way, that I've watched a lot more episodes of than just the first. So I've watched 5 episodes of this show. It's weird. It's really weird because of the way they've structured it, that you, effectively, as far as you're aware, it's the character played by Tom Holland, who, as you say, we've seen this opening scene in 1970s New York, along with this mysterious young woman played by Sasha Lane, Ariana. He's shooting someone and she runs off, and that's the last we see of her. The whole structure of the show is that after you see the opening crime being committed, that he's then interrogated by this woman played by Amanda Seyfried. We can't say much more, but then she's a woman played by Amanda Seyfried. But she's trying to get to the bottom of what happened. And he basically tells his life story to her.
As you do.
In extraordinary detail.
Yeah.
To the point where it gets weird. If you avoid the backstory of the whole thing, the book that inspired it, he just does, this seems like him meeting this woman, going to a nightclub where this woman, you know, kind of starts kissing this other woman, and there's all kinds of, and it's just an extended sequence in a New York nightclub in the late 70s. It's perfectly entertaining, but it goes on for a long time.
No one takes his glasses at any point.
No one takes his glasses.
Thank God.
And I was like, after this, I was like, he actually says at one point to Amanda Seyfried, you're thinking, what's this got to do with my life? I was like, what the fuck has this got to do with anything? And it's weirdly long, some of the kind of unnecessary.
Do you think it's intentionally disorientating?
Oh, yeah, to some extent. But there's more to it than that. I mean, if you want to be, you can be intentionally disorienting without having long scenes, which don't really have that much to do with anything. The central mystery.
But a lot of it's setting the scene and building the character. And
I think,
let's be honest, if it was an interrogation, she'd have been going, skip to the end, come on, get to the point.
Yeah.
But actually, from a viewer's point of view, I found it really gripping.
Oh, no, it's riveting. Don't get me wrong, it is riveting. But almost in spite of its insane, of the madness.
Yeah.
And it is a mad show. I think it's a mad show. And it's like, as we always say about Apple shows, beautifully shot and directed. There are some incredible kind of visuals.
Oh, it is stunning.
There's all the school stuff. That
But that's the interesting. So he's talking to this interrogator, and she's like, right, tell me about this very specific thing. So instead, when he does, he spend 20 minutes talking about this girl he fancied at school and once kissed by a river. And you're like, I'm not sure this is materially relevant.
Oh, honestly, that's the least of it. There's like extended, like drug-taking scenes of like just kind of like, you know, having been really like, you know, having dope and having hallucinations, and you're like, what's this got to do with fucking anything? It's one of the most extraordinary episodes. It's a madcap things I've seen in a long time. I very much enjoyed it. This is very much in my, you know, the kind of thing I love, kind of like a weird, twisted mystery, psychological thriller, drama, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And he is amazing, by the way. His exec produced it. And it's like a showcase for his, because you don't even know to start with how much he has to do in this show. And he has to do a lot. And it's fascinating. Yeah, absolutely fascinating. And maverick and bonkers. And the fact that I watched 5 episodes pretty much, you know, back to back shows.
When Foundation was available, listeners.
Foundation was available. And I was very much addicted to it. And, you know, yeah, it's extraordinary. It's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary. Famously extraordinary.
Famously.
So I only watched one episode of this, but I enjoyed it immensely, having ruined it for myself by Googling. So don't do what I did. But yeah, I enjoyed it, and it's so beautifully shot. And the thing that really stood out for me is just that Tom Holland is fantastic in it. And beyond that, I'm not going to say anything else because I'm so scared of spoiling this.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like this a lot more than I thought I would. And it grabs you straight away, as we have learned, is the streaming way.
Yeah.
With a high impact event and then a mystery. But again, it's the character work. Like you get a real sense of the place, that kind of 70s feel. You get a sense of him as a character and his relationships. It's really interesting. And even if it didn't go to unexpected places, which is the stuff you know where it does, I think it would be just a fascinating character piece. Like I found it genuinely really sort of engrossing all the way through. Mm. I thought it was great.
And Tom Holland's hair, so greasy.
Oh yeah, it's a proper.
I mean, I have hair envy of most people, so I couldn't really.
It's a dodgy haircut.
Yeah. It's a brilliantly dodgy 70s. Haircut. Yeah.
Well, the other thing I thought was really funny about it, there's lots of stuff set in New York where they're going to into the city and go to, and the amount of rubbish, do you notice on the streets? The set dressing was like, we have to remind people this is not present day New York. This is 70s New York when it was really dirty and scummy, literally like piles of garbage everywhere. It's hilarious. Once you notice it, it's like so funny because there are bits of it that are obviously set. And they've just like piled bits of rubbish, bits of paper, cans everywhere. They're like stumbling over them. Honestly, it's hilarious, but it is really fascinating.
It is very good. And this comes to Apple TV Plus on Friday, Boyd.
Friday.
Yes,
correct.
Friday it
well
is.
Done.
Other things that are out this week include The Idol. Now,
yes,
we're not going to be reviewing The Idol because there will be no screenings made available of The Idol. I can't imagine why. If you want to know anything about The Idol, why don't you take a look at the reviews that came out of Cannes? That may give you an idea. This has got The Weeknd in it, hasn't it, Boydie? What's it about? Tell us.
It's about, as I understand it, we haven't seen it. It aired in Cannes. Yeah, it premiered in Cannes. It's The Weeknd co-created it with the dude who created Euphoria, Sam
Indeed.
Levinson.
And Lily Rose Depp, isn't
Lily
it?
Rose Depp plays a Britney Spears-style pop superstar who's going through a bad time, and she's surrounded by blood-sucking, ruthless record company publicity managerial types. And Dan Levy is one of them. He's in it.
Oh, the cast. Love Dan Levy.
Fantastic cast, by the way. But it ends up with, I believe, she then meets The Weeknd's character in a nightclub that he owns. And he turns out to be a guru, a kind of guru slash cult leader figure.
Right.
So it's basically a twin, quote, satire, not that we've seen it, on the present day fondness for gurus. And that kind of stuff, and fame and celebrity and all that kind of stuff mixed together in a heady pot of very sex-heavy nudity, lashings of nudity, and, as you'd expect from Sam Levinson, of Euphoria fame.
Yes, which may or may not include awkward glasses action. We don't know.
Let's hope not.
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Okay, fine. Anything else, Boydie?
There's a show called Saint X, which is on Disney Plus, which any other week we probably would have done. It's an 8-part, it says it's like White Lotus-ish, I've Ooh. Read. Yeah, based on a novel, multiple timelines, dealing with the before and after of the unexplained death of a young American woman.
We could review that on Pilot Plus.
Yeah, we could do it on Pilot Plus, and that's in the Caribbean.
Maybe we will.
That arrives on Wednesday. There is the American comedy, Somebody Somewhere, that I mentioned on this very podcast, I think probably a year ago, when it came out on Sky Comedy / Now. And that's American comedian Bridget Everett's semi-autobiographical series about a 40-something woman returning to her Kansas home to take care of her dying sister. And it's a really kind of well-observed, quite gentle, kind of gentle, but actually really
what
funny.
Channel?
Sky Comedy.
Oh,
and
I might
now,
check that out.
That's Tuesday. Yeah. I think that might be, that's the main stuff.
Broadly it for
British
this week.
Soap Awards on Tuesday.
Yeah, anyway,
being
that's it
by,
for this week. Let's move on.
Well, not by Philip Schofield.
By who, do you know?
No, who is it?
It's that.
Has it been announced?
It has been announced today, yeah.
Who?
Is it Boyd? Is it you?
It's not me. I've not forgotten the name of her, obviously, because I'm adult.
Oh, I love it.
It's the woman who does all those cruise shows for Channel 5.
Jane
McDonald.
Oh, my gosh, shut up.
Jane McDonald. Do you know who she is?
Of course not.
No.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
Jane.
Oh, there's
McDonald's.
Also For Her Sins on Channel 5, which is their new psychological thriller drama with Joe Joyner. That's Monday to Thursday. That's the Channel 5 drama that we haven't done. That starts on Monday, yeah. So,
what is our pick of the week?
I'm going to surprise you. Arnold.
Arnold!
No, yeah. It's The Crowded Room. You're both bonkers.
Remember, Boydie, when I said I'd ask you last? Yeah. I lied.
The crowded room. Oh my god, the crowded room is really good.
The crowded room is really good.
But
I can't believe you've been swayed, Kate. James's obsession.
The crowded room is really great, but I found Arnold absolutely fascinating.
Stick around.
Not if you just keep talking like that, James. Come on.
Okay,
wrap
fine.
This shit up.
All right. Arnold, then, our pick of the week. That's it this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did so, please do head over to Apple Podcasts or the podcast platform of your choice and leave us a 5-sex-show rating. You can catch us on social media at James C. Dyer, at Boyd Hilton, at Kay Ribeiro, and lest we forget, at Pilot TV Pod. We will be back in your ears next week. There's a shitload of stuff out next week. Now, The Ark. The Ark is a sci-fi show that has been promised to me on at least 2 previous dates and then been pulled from the listings. I don't know what's happening.
It may
or may not be coming out next week. We may or may not be watching it. But also Best Interest, that's on BBC One. The Full Monty
that's
Limited
with
Series.
Sharon Horgan
with Sharon
Michael
Oh, yes, that's the one
huge.
You talked about. Yes. Yes, Best Interest. Okay, Best Interest, the show with Sharon Horgan. Yes, that Boyd has already talked about. That's on BBC One. The Full Monty, the Limited Series, comes to Disney Plus. The Black Mirror Returns, which is very exciting. Count Abdullah, which is ITVX's latest comedy after the one we did this week. Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which Kay is absolutely champing at the bit to watch.
Happening.
That comes on the Thursday. The new series of Outlander, we won't be watching that. That comes on the Friday.
Queen of Oz, Captain Tate.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on.
Stage comes to BBC One.
Yeah. It seems increasingly unlikely that The Ark is going to get a look in, but if I have anything to say about it, it might.
Fuck you, Ark.
No, not fuck you, Ark. I want to watch The Ark.
What brilliant way of ending the podcast.
You're dreadful people.
Ark.
Right, that is it. If you are a Pilot TV Plus subscriber, we will see you on Thursday. Otherwise, until next week, we'll be back.
No.
No, just a no for us.
Pilot out.